All right, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. Let's pray for charity and for love and for compassion. And let's pray just for those who are confused and disoriented. And maybe you feel that way today. You know, it may have nothing to do with sexuality. It might be what the future of your relationship is, right? What you're going to do in terms of declaring bankruptcy or how you're going to pay the mortgage. You know, it's could be what you're going to, what kind of treatment you're going to decide on with your doctor. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that we need to make, right? I think God sometimes speaks in our doubt, you know, and I think that's where we need to be the most attentive. We really do. You got to be open to God in those difficult times when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel alone. I want you to know you're not. God knows your situation. He knows the difficulties you're going through. He sees the end. He sees the big picture, even though you don't. And I promise you this. He'll show up. He'll restore your faith. He'll restore your health. He'll restore your finances. He'll never abandon you. It's the one guarantee of this life. God will never abandon you. And sometimes it feels that way. Things are only going to get worse. What am I going to do? I look back at my life, and I just see God's fingerprints all over my path and my journey. And I've suffered in all sorts of different ways. God was always there, and out of it came a greater good. Out of it came a greater lesson, and out of it came the opportunity to share with you that, yeah, no, God is there. Not only does he show up in times of those difficulty, he'll show up in those times of doubt, he's with you the whole time. You know, there are seasons of difficulty in life. You know, they come and they go, don't they? Nobody's immune from them. But know that when you pray, God hears your prayers, and he wants to bring you out of that valley, and he wants to bless you. And I want to pray for that for you today. Pray that the Lord restores whatever your situation is, heals whatever it is you're seeking healing for, resolves whatever conflict that you're dealing with right now. So let's pray for one another. I'm praying also today with Beth, my colleague, and she hails from our creative department. Beth, thank you for being here today. Thanks for praying.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Anything you want to lift up or pray for as we begin?
Yeah, I have a short list real quick. For sure. Bob Bennis, our colleague who's retiring, with 17 years of service. So Thanksgiving for him. Yesterday we had some bad storms roll through our state, and we had a celebration for Bob, and everyone who was traveling made it home safe. So Thanksgiving for that. My mom had a bit of a health scare, but she's doing better now. Finally, I brought to the chaplet before some sciatica and joint pain, SI joint pain. Yeah, and it's improving. So, and it's been improving since I requested prayer during the chaplet.
I remember I was in studio with you that day. We talked about it.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for you, Beth, because that is debilitating. Yeah. Well, look, we'll pray for complete healing for you. I know you like to run, so we'll pray that God gives you total restoration of your health. Let's pray for the Holy Father, too, who's been wheelchair bound now, and he suffers also with really bad back pain and sciatica. So we'll lift him up. And anyone else, Kay, I know you have it. I want to pray for you. One or two quick intentions. This person just wrote and said, hey, could you pray for the full recovery of a little 23-month-old girl named Naomi? She's having a stent put into her heart today, and we're just praying that she'll wake up. She's been in a coma since February. Doctors don't know why. Her second birthday is in a couple weeks. It's July the 3rd. Also, for the healing of my 10-month-old son, Jacob. He's been sick since last Thursday, so we'll certainly pray for that. This person also said, hey, I'm writing to you through teary eyes. My 14-year-old daughter's horse, who she only has had for 2 years, has been diagnosed with, I don't know what the disease is, navicular, I think is what she wrote here. This is not curable, and he may never be able to be ridden again, or worse, may need to be euthanized if the pain is not controlled. My life savings literally went into getting this horse for her, and it was meant as an investment. We're lost and hurting, but I have faith in God. I know God can work miracles. I'm begging and banging on the door of heaven, believing he could miraculously heal this horse. Would you ask everyone to please pray? I believe prayers are powerful. I believe your prayers are powerful. This mama is sobbing, watching her kiddo sob, and I feel completely helpless, asking for more prayers. And that intention comes from Hawaii. So we're so glad to have you praying with us, Erica, and we will certainly lift that intention up. Let's pray now. All right. We'll pray for God's mercy. We'll pray for all those intentions that are coming in. And maybe I'll share a few answered prayers today as well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call today. Ruth is praying with us in Santa Fe Springs, California. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
First, I want to say thank you so much for taking my call. Ministry, your wonderful book, and this wonderful, incredible radio station. I've learned so much about my Catholic religion through all of the programs. I'm holding out a big cup, as you say to do. It's regarding my daughter. My prayer request is for my daughter, Jessica, who lost her teaching job this year. She is going to an interview right now during this chaplet time. Pray that if it's God will, she will get this teaching position for the fourth grade. And also her marriage needs a miracle. Her husband left her 4 months ago just for really selfish reasons. Praying that he comes back. She's having a hard time dealing with it, and it's breaking my heart. And for her to give her strength to get through the day, my heart breaks. She's just dragging, Mom, I can't do it anymore. And I tell her just what you just said earlier, that God would never leave her. And just to give her strength through the suffering and for all those suffering with cancer. I'm a cancer survivor, and I prayed the chaplet, and I know it was a miracle that I've been healed.
Well,
and
God,
for all those suffering with COVID, the end to the war, and for all the end to abortion as well. And bless all the listeners as well.
Ruth, my heart goes out to you. As a mother, I know you suffer for your daughter, and I'm so sorry. I really am. Let's pray for your daughter. I mean, that relationship problem, that's something that really needs God's healing. There's no doubt about it. And let's bring that to the Lord. Let's ask for remedy. Let's ask that her heart can be healed. Let's pray for her future. Let's pray for this job right now. And, you know, the Lord, when I open the mic sometimes, I don't know what I'm going to say. And I just, and sometimes the Lord speaks to people. And I really believe that when we're in these dark moments, it sometimes feels like our prayers aren't answered. And sometimes feels like God's a million miles away. He's closer to us than ever. St. Francis de Sales, who was the great gentleman saint, he once says, do not fear what may happen tomorrow. Because the same loving Father who cares for you today, he's going to care for you every day. And he's going to shield you. You know, he's going to give you the strength to bear what you're dealing with. You know, so don't be anxious. Put aside those thoughts and imaginings. Put your trust in God. And I always go back to divine mercy. I always think of this prayer, and I'm so grateful to pray it with you and so many others, because the Lord promised anything you pray through this chapel will be granted if it's compatible with your will. And Lord, right now I pray for this marriage. I pray for a miraculous healing. I pray for this job, that you open the right door for Ruth's daughter. And I ask that you give this girl eloquence and intelligence, that you give her wisdom with her words. You give her charisma. And if this is the place you want her to let those doors fly open, we ask that in this very hour. I pray for continued healing for cancer, for all those who have it. I'm so delighted to hear about Ruth's story of healing. And we give you all these intentions she brought forward for the end of the war, for life. I unite these prayers to all who now pray with me. We come before the foot of the cross of your Son, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Right, hang in there, Ruth. Julia is praying in Torrance, California. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I want to first give Thanksgiving. My son called early May. I had a concussion after a bad fall and hit my head, and I was able to make it to the Walk to Mary. So thank you all for praying for me.
Praise God.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to, before I forget, add, there was a woman who called yesterday calling on behalf or interceding for someone that had lost their child. It was an anniversary of death yesterday, I believe. And then her child was an anniversary of death today. So I want to let them know that I'm praying for them. And they stuck with me. And the mother that I just heard that called before.
Yep.
So my main reason for calling is in Thanksgiving for my son's life. He turns 24 today.
Oh, happy birthday.
So thank you. I'd like that you, I'll pray for his intention and his continued healing. And I just thank God for his life.
Amen to that.
Thank you.
Well,
all.
Julia, thank you, first of all, for being part of our spiritual family here. I love your prayers. You, like me, often have, you know, these pricks of the heart, and you just can't forget some of these calls. And yeah, that's the beauty of what happens. We pray for one another. From the chaplet's wrapped up, I know you're going to pray for those calls. I'm praying. So many other people are praying for us. So I want to wish you a happy birthday. I used to always wish my mother a happy birthday on the day that she gave birth, because it's really, it might be my birthday, but I always thank her for that. So I wish you a blessed birthday, and I will pray for your son on his day of birth. And for all those today who are celebrating a new life, I want to pray for those mothers who are pregnant and are contemplating terminating that life in their womb. I want to pray for the disorientation, confusion, the conversion of those who are in positions of power in our country that are advocating for this culture of death. God, in your mercy, just embrace them. Put into their situations and paths and encounters your grace, give them the opportunity to see the errors of their ways and to encounter your mercy. And I just pray for an end to the culture of death. Then we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's, before we go to our third call, let me bring Maggie in. Maggie, of course, monitors Twitter. And you can put your intention there. If you don't get through on the phone lines, you can always post your intention there. Maggie will bring it to the prayer team here at Drew Mariani. That's the handle, at Drew Mariani. We'll also pray for you when you email. And as I said before, I'm heading to the Holy Land in October. And we're praying for all those intentions that have come in. And I will be praying for them, not only during the chaplet here in the days ahead, but we'll pray for you in the Holy Land. So if you just want me to pray for you when I go to some of those places, go to relevantradio.com/Drew, scroll down past the podcast, and you'll see a little field where you can stick in your intentions, and I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to take them there. So lots of ways you can get on our prayer list here on Team Drew, and it's just an honor to be able to spend this time with you. Now, Maggie, what can we pray for, and what are some of the intentions?
Yeah, Drew, first off, I'd like to lift up a personal intention for my good friend Elise for some relief from some of the hardships of life and for some provisions and blessings for her. Kathleen wrote to us and asked for prayers for the soul of Paul Lehi, the deceased husband of Millie Lehi. Today would have been his birthday. Oh. Carmen wrote to us and asked for prayers for her husband Ruben, for his physical healing and for peace, and also for a legal and financial situation they found themselves in. They were scammed by a timeshare group and have lost a lot because of it. Regina wrote to us and said, please pray for the El Monte, California police officers that were killed in the line of duty yesterday and for their families. Also for the shooter that committed this senseless evil crime. The shooter was also shot dead. Anna wrote to us and said, prayers of thanksgiving. My mom had an excellent doctor appointment today. And then Samantha wrote to us, and I read this out, I don't know, maybe 4 days ago, for her friend Dr. Hilda Schnooks. So she said, prayers of thanksgiving. You prayed for Dr. Hilda Schnooks a few days ago. Turns out she does not have cancer. It was praise a benign God. Cyst. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you for everyone who prayed for her.
Love that. Hey, thank you, Maggie. Great, great prayer intentions. Lord, we do give you thanks for all those answered prayers. I know, like the story in Scripture where he heals those with leprosy, one comes back to thank him. So often, God is at work right now. Miracles are in play. Healings are taking place. Always remember to thank God. And I really want to lift this decade up in thanksgiving. Not for the blessings he's given us, but even for these crosses and trials are an opportunity to really deepen our own faith and to walk closer with the Lord, to resemble him, as Faustina wrote in her diary, in the next life. We'll take Melissa on the third decade here as well. She's praying in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Drew. I'm just calling today for my cousin, Lauren, who actually, as we were saying, the chaplet, I have a praise report. She was found. My cousin, who's mentally ill and addicted to drugs, keeps running away from group homes. They found her at a hotel. So thank you, Jesus.
God.
I pray that they find safe housing for her and can keep her safer and get drug tested. She keeps refusing. Yeah. And I just pray for her family, my aunt, who's very worried. And also my family right now has COVID and I have a lot of health issues. And I'm very overwhelmed and I struggle with mental and physical health issues and hair loss. And just could use some relief and for my marriage. Thank you, Drew.
Hang in there, Melissa. You're a prayer warrior. I remember you. You keep praying and keep praying, okay? God will hear your prayers and he's going to use your suffering in a very powerful way. I'm convinced of that. I really believe that the Lord knows where you're at. You know, St. Faustina wrote in her diary, she says, have great confidence because even when God sends us trials, he's always our Father, you know, and he loves us. And I just think about how much I love my own children. I know many of you do the same thing. You do anything for them. So let's turn now to our eternal Father. We'll give him all these problems. Lord, I pray, especially for those with hair loss, both men and women. I want to pray for those with troubled marriages, those with illnesses. Lord, especially those with addiction. And I just ask you break the chains of those addictions. You exorcise whatever demonic spirit might be at the heart of some of those. You heal whatever wounds might be causing those. And you allow new beginnings. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Lisa is praying in Elmhurst, Illinois. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Drew and Beth. Thank you for all the spiritual blessings through doing the Divine Mercy. And I can really feel and connect with the moms calling in today. I'm right there with them in suffering for our kids. But my prayer intention today is I have two children that are traveling this weekend, so I just pray for God's blessing on them to keep them safe in their travels. And also, I would like to offer up the intention for all those suffering with the debilitating effects left over from the COVID virus, especially neurological problems, which can lead to so many things like insomnia, depression, things of that nature. Thank you, Drew.
You got it. And such an important prayer. And you're right, this long COVID that they often call it. I mean, people deal with these residual effects, and there's problems with sleep. There's all sorts of other issues that result from it. Lord, I pray for those with blood clots, with sleep problems, those with depression and anxiety. Lord, I pray for those who still have lost their smell. Lord, I pray for those right now who have COVID or who have had it. I pray for protection over those from no other type of effects. I give you this intention. We pray against COVID. I pray against this wretched pandemic, and I just ask for an end to it. And I just ask for your mercy. May you protect this nation and the world from degeneration, disaster, and war. And finally, I give you Lisa and all of her intentions as a mother, especially for the safety of her children. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our fifth decade. Charlene prays with us in Huntley, Illinois. Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to also pray for my daughter. She is pregnant, and the baby is due July 4th, and it is in breech position, and we want that baby to turn around and get in a good position for a smooth delivery in July.
All right. We'll pray for that right now. I love that, Charlene. Thank you. Let's lift that up. I pray for all complicated pregnancies, Lord, right now. And I know Charlene probably doesn't want her daughter to have a C-section. We just pray right now for a healthy and safe delivery. I pray for all those who are struggling with, as I said, problems in utero, anyone who's dealing with children who are ill, who have complications. I want to pray for those who are having trouble with their fertility, who seek life and ask God for the blessing of having a child. And I just claim many healings, many blessings today in this hour. And again, we pray for that mother that's contemplating taking the life of her child. And Lord, I want to pray for everyone that's on hold with me right now, those struggling with mental illness, those struggling with addiction, those struggling, Lord, with impurity, and Lord, those right now who do not know you, those who are away from you. I want to pray for those who reject you, and I want to pray for all those who've gone before us, and just give you all the intentions, needs, wants, and desires of those now united to me as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's keep praying for one another. All right, we need to do that. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for praying with me, and please pray for me. I always appreciate that. Coming up in a minute, I'll tell you a story. Dr. Paul Kenger is going to be stopping by, and he had an interesting encounter. I'm going to get his take on that. But I do want to remind you before we move on, I really want to do you this favor. And I want to take your prayer intentions. We pray for you every day during the chapel, but I'm going to personally spend time in prayer on pilgrimage when I'm in Israel. And every day we have Mass. Every day I go to these holy places. And if you have a need that's been ongoing, maybe it's the relationship, maybe it's the addiction. Maybe it's you're constantly dealing with hardships and finances. Maybe it's migraines. I don't know what cross you have. But I will intercede for you, and I will do it at different places. So if there's a particular place you want me to pray, leave that in the intention as well. But otherwise, you can simply go to relevantradio.com, right, /Drew. And if you go down, you're going to see the links for the podcast. You can tap into some great shows. I'd encourage you to listen to them, share them with others. But in the field there, put your name and then put your intention. I always keep everything anonymous. So, it's relevantradio.com/Drew. If you want more information on that pilgrimage to the Holy Land, easy thing to do. Relevantradio.com/Holy Land. And I think there's a couple weeks left for anyone who's interested. But all the information's there. Relevantradio.com/Holy Land. whether you make it or not on the trip, I will promise to pray for you. All right. This month, of course, you probably have seen it. Rainbows everywhere. I was noticing them on a lot of corporate logos. And I don't know if you're seeing the same thing here. You know, I love the image of the rainbow, right? I mean, who doesn't? I thought, and I hate when language gets co-opted. I've talked to you about this in the past, how the word pro-choice or, you know, even the Equality Act, how that's a misrepresentative or reproductive justice or, you know, these things, they mean something totally different. And so does the rainbow today. These corporate logos, they've taken it. I saw it on AT&T. Oreo now is including rainbows in their logo. LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, you know, Uber, Lyft, Airbnb. What were some of the other ones? Spotify, the White House, of course, MasterCard. Everywhere you look, you see them, right? And the reason isn't, of course, you know, a celebration of what the symbol was initially designed for. God saves Noah, and he promised never to destroy the earth again by a flood. What was the sign that Noah saw? He saw the rainbow, right? But the Pride movement has co-opted it. They've taken what was a symbol of God's mercy, a promise, a covenant, and they've turned it into something quite opposite. And now it's become the symbol of the so-called Pride Month. So you got businesses, right? Civic organizations, governments, everybody doing it because they want to be PC. They want to be politically correct. They don't want to offend anybody. They want to seem like, you know, they're cool, they're current, you know? It's simple, maybe that they've acquiesced to the culture, knowing that if they don't, they might be targeted or be viewed as bigoted or publicly denounced. So maybe it's a financial move they do this. The U.S. Embassy to the Holy See. Here's the one I have a problem with, right? The U.S. Embassy to the Holy See is even flying one. Yeah, even though the State Department won't do it in places like Saudi Arabia. You think the Saudis are going to allow that to happen? You think the United Arab Emirates, you know, the UAE would allow that to happen? I don't think so. The State Department won't fly there. But Holy See is different, right? This whole idea of pride, the Pride Month, has become problematic. Pride, of course, if you just look at it spiritually, it's one of the deadly sins. It's the deadliest of the deadly sins. And yet we celebrate Pride Month, you know? I can go on and on and on, but I don't want to go down, you know, a rabbit hole here. I just find it ironic because we celebrate pride in a month that should be dedicated to the Sacred Heart, right? To the Immaculate, and especially the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's sad. Dr. Paul Kenger recently took a trip. He was traveling through rural Pennsylvania, and he noticed something. Instead of pride in these small towns, right, he saw something a little bit different. He saw the residents, instead of flying the rainbow flag, putting up images of residents that have served in the military. And they made banners. They emblazoned them with images of those who served or maybe are currently serving. And that, of course, is, you know, the opposite of celebrating oneself, right? Dr. Kenger joins me today. He wrote a piece. We'll get you plugged into it. He's a professor of political science at Grove City College, of course, a very gifted author. Doctor, welcome back.
Yeah, hey, Drew. Good to be back. Thanks.
So you got to tell us your story. I know you drove more than 2 hours through the western part of the state of Pennsylvania to the central, beautiful country, God's country. And my understanding is you didn't see one single rainbow flag. Tell us your story.
Yeah, no, not one. And right now, Drew, I'm actually coming back from Alexandria, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., where I saw pride flags everywhere. And in fact, Alexandria, which is now run by liberal Democrats, the entire outside courtyard, outside the courthouse, there's a rainbow flag on every lamppost. And there is, what I saw in northwestern Pennsylvania, and I'll tell you where that was. So it was last weekend, and I was going to my Uncle Bruno's funeral in Emporium, Pennsylvania. So he was 96 years old, Bruno Carnevale. He was mayor of Emporium, Pennsylvania for 51 years. He was a World War II vet. And I drove from little towns, Harrisville, Pennsylvania, Mercer, up through Brockway, St. Mary's, Kersey, Brookville, Dagus Mines, all these different little towns, and in every single one of them, I'm not exaggerating, and I've been seeing this all over the place, at least in the area where I live, Drew. I don't know if you're seeing it, but these little towns, not only are they not flying rainbow flags, but instead, and I don't think this is necessarily, this isn't an anti-rainbow flag thing by them, but this just tells you instead where their priorities are. They have instead flags of the town's military heroes. So men and modern day too, women, service members. And I first noticed it a few years ago. You would go through these towns and there would be like a banner on each lamppost in the downtown area. And it would usually be some fallen soldier from World War I, right, or World War II, or maybe Korea. And now, however, these lampposts will have two flags, right? They'll have one on each side, so they'll have two soldiers. And now I'm seeing lampposts with four soldiers. And, in fact, if you go to my article on this, it's called Pride and Flags at the American Spectator. I included pictures from Brockway and St. Mary's where they have five flags, six flags, you know, entire families, right, who served in the military. And one town, Dagus Mines, their town is so little, Drew, they don't have enough lampposts, so they started putting them on telephone poles going about 2 miles out of town, out into the rural areas. And these, it used to be that you would see, you know, they're red, white, and blue. And in these towns, you would usually see red, white, and blue flags around Memorial Day, maybe through June and into Independence Day. But I'm now seeing in some of these towns, these military flags are out all year round. I mean, they're keeping them up all year round. And it shows what people in these towns value, which is, you know, remembrance, memorial, military service, sacrifice. And instead, if you go to any major cities, where, you know, statistically there are a lot more people who served in the military, you see nothing like that at all. What you see instead are gay pride flags. You see that with our own president, who on June 6th, D-Day, not until 9 o'clock at night, after somebody apparently pointed it out, did they recognize that it was the anniversary of D-Day. But they've been flying the gay pride flag all month at the Vatican, the Biden administration has. And so in this article, I'm saying this really shows the difference between sort of rural America and, you know, versus these liberal big cities. In the latter, you have gay pride flags, and in the former, you have people celebrating the military service and sacrifice. And I'll add one more thing. You already touched on it. But this whole idea, Drew, I think you and I have probably talked about this before. You don't celebrate pride. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Pride cometh before the fall. St. Augustine said that pride turned the angels into devils. It's what got us kicked out of the Garden of Eden, right? It was Satan's rebellion. The monks in St. Benedict's Rule, the first thing they're asked to purge is pride. You don't embrace and celebrate pride. But the LGBTQIA plus movement, not only is it their motto, their creed, but it's the name of their month. Their whole month is about elevating and celebrating pride. So it's really kind of an odd and crazy and strange and bizarre thing that's happening.
And I marvel how we got to this point. I mean, how did it become so embraced that we have major corporations like, you know, like AT&T or LinkedIn or Spotify, the White House, you know, Twitter, YouTube, you go through them, Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, MasterCard. What's the psychology behind it? I mean, how did it go from something that, you know, somebody wouldn't give a second thought to now becoming part of their own logos, their corporate logos during Pride Month?
Yes. And also, too, if you have, like, the case of Major League Baseball players, I think it was the Florida Marlins, where five or six guys on the team who are Christian guys, and they didn't want to have to wear the rainbow colors. And all these poor guys want to do, Drew, is just play baseball, right? They have to make political, cultural statements. And this happened a couple years ago with the BLM stuff. And I remember telling my liberal friends, I'm like, don't make these guys wear BLM patches. Well, why not? Don't you believe in justice? Look, as soon as you go down that road, there's no end to this. And it's always going to be, you know, some liberal issue, right? And so now it's pride flags. And these poor guys who just want to play their sport, and by the way, the rest of us who want to escape from politics and culture wars and just watch a game of baseball without seeing gay pride flags, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to escape from this too. These guys are being attacked. They're called haters. They're called bigots by people who are, frankly, prideful, right? Who just can't simply, you know, let everybody else alone. This is what they do. You know, silence is violence. If you're not part of their protest and part of their movement, then you are the enemy. You are to be canceled. You are to be destroyed. And you know, is that not the thinking of Satan, right? The rebellion.
Yeah.
It's so ironic. I was reading a couple of reader comments in response to my article, and one young lady said something. She was arguing with what I said, and you can't argue with what I said. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the other sins emanate from this. And if we lived in a time like we did 50 or 60 years ago, when people read Dante, when they knew the seven deadly sins, when they read about Western Civ, took courses on Western Civ, people would have this better theological understanding, but they don't, because this is not what they're learning. Instead, they're learning at their universities and their schools, wear the pride flag, right? Celebrate gay rights. And if you don't, you're a bigot. So they have no idea what any of this even means theologically. It's quite sad.
It certainly is. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kanger. Doctor, I have to hold 1 second here, take a short break. When we come back, let's jump right into the phones. If you want to join us or if you're on hold, we'll get you on the air. The number here is 888-914-9149. Feel free to share your own observations or ask your questions or just join the conversation. We'll be back with more. By the way, Dr. Kanger's article, if you want to read it, we're linking over to it right now. We posted it at Drew Mariani Show. That's our Twitter page. You can find it at the American Spectator. Well worth the read. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
Hey, well, thanks for joining me. Let me jump right into the phones. I know how quickly time flies. If you're just getting connected, though, Dr. Paul Kanger, my guest, wrote an article on an observation he made as he was driving through Western Pennsylvania. And he saw many of the great military heroes, those men and women who have served and are serving, honored in the streets of America. And what a juxtaposition that is to so many of the pride flags that are now waving. And again, I know Dr. Kanger is a charitable man. I want to be a charitable man as well. And I always want to approach this with love. But I do think there's a great disorientation in our culture today, and it's quite sad. And I think what you observed is resonant or reflective in some respects of where I think a lot of Americans are, although they feel outgunned, outnumbered. They feel that maybe they're alone. I don't really think they are. I really don't think they are. I think the media has a pretty big voice. I think a lot of these institutions have a pretty big reach. But I don't think it's reflective of the nation at large. Just very quickly, address it. How do you see it? Are we split 50-50 on this? Does it tilt more towards gay pride, more towards those traditional values? How do you see the country divided,
It's a good question, Drew. I just saw a poll that says 71% of Americans now support same-sex marriage. And, a colleague of mine at Grove City College, Dave Ayers, who focuses on this stuff, will show you that the numbers among Catholics are just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And for Catholics who are listening to us right now who are offended by what I'm saying, do a quick little experiment, especially if you're on hold. Go grab your catechism and look up the word pride and read that. Read how the catechism describes pride, what it says about it, and then ask yourself if that's something you should be celebrating. And if you were to start a movement, would you want that to be the slogan of your movement? You would not. Right. But that's what it has become for the LGBTQ movement. And my answer to you will be, it's very simple. You do not celebrate pride, period.
See, but you know, I'll just counter that. I do want to get to the phones. There are a lot of people who want to join us. Maybe they're saying, "Well, we're not celebrating, you know, the vice pride. We're celebrating, you know, the homosexuality and its acceptance and liberation and freedom and free expression. That's what we're proud of. Not the vice itself."
Well, I would tell them change. Because pride is a vice. It's not a virtue. And they want to use it in a different way to say, well, you know, I'm proud of so-and-so. Yeah. Change your slogan. And it's probably too late for that now. Yeah. I find it an incredible irony that is the slogan of the LGBTQ movement.
As Catholics, you know, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it's listed under the proliferation of sin. So, and it's one of the most deadly. I think you bring up a great point. Tom in Glendora, California, you're on the air. Dr. Kangor, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much, Drew. Dr. Kangor, I greatly admire you, and as the author of a book called The Devil and Karl Marx, you're the consummate authority. You know, I'm not anti-gay. Oh, you... Very welcome. I'm not anti-gay in any vindictive sense. As a Christian, we have a constitutional duty to respect the rights of these people in their private life. That's not even an issue. But when I see the pride, as you said, transcending the key issue that I think has started from the time of Adam and Eve, that is the battle of a good God and an evil devil. The word devil, of course, ends in the word evil. It's always been so throughout history. This great country, to its credit, is one of the few that pledged itself to God in its founding documents. As awry as we went, as horribly badly as we went off track with slavery, a vile evil, we got repentance, we came back. Now I am an old guy, and I've never seen such an alarming change in the last couple of years to where we seem to have abandoned our God-based roots, which are our only hope, and the only hope of the world for survival, and we're embracing the other alternative of God is simply the devil. So it seems like we're really playing footsie with the devil here, and it's a real warning sign. I fear we're losing our God-based country. Am I over the top?
Love it, Tom.
Well, no, because the devil is filled with pride. And it was the devil's prideful rebellion that got him, Adam and Eve, expelled from paradise. And in fact, I would add here that in terms of what you said about gay people, the cardinal virtues, right, are faith, love, and charity. And so we are to love those people. We are to be charitable towards them. Mm. And so that's what I tried to do, right? But I'm here to tell them, in the spirit of love and charity, they shouldn't be celebrating pride. Pride is bad. Pride is excessive love of self to the point where it's licentiousness, to where you do whatever you want to do regardless of God's rule, which is what Satan did. Right? Hey, you don't go there.
Doctor, you know, Tom also said he's concerned about the future of the country as a result of the path that we're going down. Does it undermine the foundation that this country was built on and its future?
Well, I think everything does. As I've said many times before, I mean, I think this whole country and culture is going to hell in a handbasket, to be blunt, right? And you know, faith, hope, and charity. I'm supposed to have hope. Chesterton said hope is about having hope when things seem hopeless. But, you know, I'm not very hopeful about the future of the country. And what further bothers me is that, you know, I'll get canceled in some quarters for even writing the article that I dared to write. I guarantee you, I'll lose some speaking engagement at some college somewhere next year because someone will bring up that piece, right? And, you know, that's how these people deal with people who bring them bad news. They deal with them pridefully without charity. And so all of that goes together. It's called vice. And vice leads to viciousness. It's not virtuous. Again, St. Benedict and his rules for monks, the first thing they tried to purge was pride. And now here we are, June, where the entire month of June, especially in big cities and liberal enclaves, the highest new quote-unquote virtue is pride.
Well said. Hey, doctor, I want to thank you. I got to leave it right there. My apologies. The lines are stacked. Everyone wants to get into it. But I've got to stop for news and headlines, which are straight ahead. If people want to read your article, I guess the best place is American Spectator. I know you've published it there.
That's right.
But we've also linked over to it. So if you're in your car and you're not going to remember, you can find it by going to @DrewMarianiShow. That's our Twitter page. Just go to our Twitter page and follow us and like us on social media. We'll catch up again soon. I am grateful for your time. Enjoy the weather out there. I'm sure it's getting pretty hot your way.
It's pretty nasty. Not real easy to enjoy.
that's just stay cool. Hey, doctor, thank you. That's Dr. Paul Kengor. Your news and headlines are coming straight up. I'll be back on the other side. I do want to ask you about I want to talk about not just cannabis legalization, marijuana, but CBD products. Do you use them? And if you do, I definitely want to hear from you. Hemp, some of the byproducts of this industry. We're going to get into that, take a look at fentanyl, a whole lot of other things. Should be a very interesting conversation. Stay with me.